T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Pittsburgh, listen to what we started.
This is KDKA of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company.
The future really did begin here. The world's first scheduled broadcast was made from Westinghouse's
KDKA.
Listen as we share 100 years of KDKA radio.
Climb aboard our magic carpet for a montage of memories. Radio's finest hour.
Someplace special. KDKA Pittsburgh.
You're listening to the voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA Radio. I'm Mangino. Thank you very much for tuning in. And we continue our look back at KDKA and 100 years over the course of the rest of 2020. It's official come November, but every week we take a look back, and we've had some really remarkable guests. And tonight our guest is one that fits in so perfectly to the mix. Roy Fox, his show was The Fox's Den, heard on KDKA in the mid to late 70s all the way through into the early 80s, and he's joining us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Roy, welcome back to KDKA Radio. How are you?
What a pleasure. I'm great. Thanks. You had Trish on, what, last week or something like that?
Yes, I did. We had her on for a half hour last week.
Okay. Well, Trish Beatty, the Lady Beatty, was the best female voice I've ever heard. She was just terrific on the air, loved her music, and knew how to mix it. She did a Sunday morning show that was just out of sight, and I always loved her humor. And I guess when she was on the air with you or somewhere along the line, she found out that Jack Bogut, who was our morning man back at that time, had sent a note. This is Trish with her humor. She writes to me, Jack Bogut penned a nice remembrance that failed to mention beer, temper tantrums, or foul language, but was otherwise truthful. Trish at her best.
Good stuff.
As she can be. And I really think I'm going to do fairly well tonight, because when she wrote to me after I'd sent her a note, she said, well, my friend, it is good to see that you are still able to string together full sentences. She didn't say they made any sense. She simply said I could string them together. So here we are, Robert. What goes?
Oh, I'm looking forward to this hour. Thank you so much for making time for us. Before we go back to the KDKA time, and I want to go all the way back to the beginning, a lot of people were wondering, what are you doing? What are you up to? What's happening with Roy Fox?
Well, my birthday's past year was kind of a banner. I spent 30 years as a radio broadcaster, 30 years as caretaker of a home of a founding father that, regardless of his unimportance, was one of the most important writers and one of the five framers of the Constitution. I live in his house for 30 years. 30 years of broadcaster, 30 years caretaker of King Manor. You're looking at or listening to an 80-year-old human being who has never, ever worked a legitimate day in his life. And I'm now building on that record as we speak.
How do you go from being in radio to being a caretaker? That seems like a really big jump.
Mary, who I'm happy to say she has had the good sense to leave me, and we got married on the air at KDKA, she had been producer of my show, and we decided, more correctly, I said, look, we haven't done this long enough, but radio's changing so much, I'm on the outside looking in. It's time to move on. And she said, great, we moved to New York. So she gets a job restoring the carousel at Prospect Park in Brooklyn. And I come in, fly in. We had lived on the other side of Prospect Park once upon a time. And I said, look, we'll get an apartment in Park Slope and figure out what we're going to do with our lives. I go in to meet her boss, Tupper Thomas. Tupper says, Fox, if you wouldn't object to a free apartment, I could save you some time. I said, Tupper, if you're wondering if I'm paying attention, in spades, baby, what does this mean? She said, 10 minutes before you came in, the commissioner of Parks of Queens called from Queens, New York. Mm-hmm. And he said, they just restored the Rufus King Manor House, and they're looking for someone to live in the apartment. I said, Rufus King, the founding father? Tupper, as Tupper can say, said, hell, I don't know. So we came over here. They were still building the apartment. The third floor was one big open room, and two-thirds of it now is my apartment. A very new apartment was being built in a very old house. Some of it goes back to the 1750s. And the commissioner walks us around the house and shows us the outside and all of that. And 30 years ago, on last Labor Day, he said, are you interested? And I was 50 years old at the time. I said, sure. He shakes my hand and he says, take good care of the place, son. And for 30 years, I don't get paid. I don't have a job. I got the greatest apartment in the world telling the most fabulous American history story there is to tell and bringing Rufus King back to life. And I've done that within King Manor. That is in an 11-acre park. It's named after Rufus King. Both the house and the park are landmarked because of him. And so even though I say I live in New York City, mm-hmm. which is true, the last snowstorm, I looked out my office window and I thought, I live in the city. Where the hell did the city go? Somebody steal it when I turn the page of a book? And yet, on the corner is the end of the E train. For those that know New York, I'm 30 minutes away from Midtown Manhattan, and all the action that used to be is there. End of story. Not bad, Fox.
Great story. Roy Fox is joining us, and he's going to be here for the hour, and we're going to reminisce, go back in the radio career, back to his KDKA days, of course, and all the way back to the beginning to SON in Henderson, Kentucky, and some of the pivotal stations that really began the change from music and then to transition and then ultimately to full talk that you had here on KDK, Roy. We'll get to that coming up in a moment. Quick little break. Back with more. You're listening to KDKA at 100. Roy Fox, my guest. I'm Mangino, KDK Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDKA Radio with Robert Mangino.
I'm Angino. With me, Roy Fox, longtime talk show host on KDK, host of The Fox's Den. And
Robert, as yes. long as you're talking about states, in my 30 years in radio, yes. I can take you from Boston to Phoenix and never leave a state I haven't worked in, including the state of confusion, which is where I'm spending most of my time. So I wanted to add all of that to the state of Franklin just to fit into the program.
I appreciate your efforts to do what you can to fit in. All right, so your work in radio goes all the way back to when you were 18, SON, if I understand correctly, in Henderson, Kentucky. What got you in radio?
Yeah, WSON. Well, I was going to study to be a Lutheran minister in the Missouri Synod. And third year of high school, I thought, I'm never going to get through high school, much less college and seminary. And there was a guy on the air, boy, does this go back, Marty Fay. He'd be playing Presley, and he would, on the air, he would take the record off the turntable, break it over the microphone, and go into Frank Sinatra. And I thought, you know, I can do that. So after high school, which I barely got through, I did a 3-month course at a broadcasting school, and my first job was in Henderson, Kentucky, WSON. And we may have only had 500 watts in a daytime station, but don't sell me short. We broadcast from coast to coast, from one side of the beautiful Ohio River, clear across to the other side of the Ohio. I got paid $1.10 an hour, whether I needed it or not. And in July for the 4th, our owner gave us a Christmas present to celebrate July 4th, half of our normal salary. I never had management do that before or after again. First job. Good stuff.
You'd go back in a heartbeat, wouldn't you, if you could? Maybe not. All right. You talked about how you traveled all over, and you eventually landed at WCUE, the Q, in Akron, and had Fox on Q. Was that the first time you actually took callers and conducting some kind of a talk segment?
Yeah. Our program director did a talk show from 9:30 to 11, I think it was, and I was doing the morning show. And I was intrigued by what the talk was doing and what the potential might be. So I asked management, foolish me, if after the morning show I could just stick around, do the station break, and go in and do a talk show for an hour and a half. And that's what I did, and grew up a lot very quickly in doing talk radio. When I ended up at, the only time I really felt like I worked for a living was at WHO Des Moines. They were looking for an afternoon drive and an evening talk, and somehow, glutton that I am, I took that. So I did the music and fooling around for the afternoon drive, 3 to 6, a half hour off, and then a talk show from 6:30 to 10. And, Robert, there's kick I've had as a broadcaster. When the FCC came in, they determined, in addition, I mean, what was not done with the digital and what was not done with the cable stuff, that the FCC has not stepped in and had some discipline in tearing some of this stuff, and some discipline and some rules and regulations. You never trust human nature. And so they came in, radio stations were on, you tune in and there'd be three or four or five stations all at the same spot on the dial. Mm-hmm. The FCC tore all of that apart, put in some rules and regulations as to what you could do, and then they determined that if you lived on the east side of the Mississippi, you were W. If you lived on the west side, you were K, with the exception of those on the air. If they decided to continue with what they had, so be it. I worked at the two biggest exceptions, and they were exceptional in their programming, too. KDKA Pittsburgh, mm-hmm, and WHO Des Moines. That's who. What a kick.
Oh, wow. So the way I'm getting this now, too, is that you go from the Q in Akron, and then you land at Land O'Lakes, WLOL, years later. And was that the first time that you just had a talk show? There was no music being played at all, or was there a time before that, too?
Robert, you know, a journalist from the New York Times did a full article on my background. And I don't have that here with me because I can't remember the order. There are some colors I can't remember. But WLOL, yeah, that was after Des Moines. The first time I did full-time, did I go from Akron, Fox? Why don't you talk to yourself? Well, I can do that. I'm schizophrenic. Well, of course you can. I went from LOL, Lots of Love, to Oklahoma City, or was it the other way around? And then I ended up at Oklahoma City, something wrong. Oh, no, here it is. I went from LOL to Kansas City. I did the morning show there. And from there to WHO. And from, I hope listeners are taking notes. There will be a written exam. And this audience has never impressed me with being very good with written exams. So just, you know, giving you a heads up here. And then I went to LOL, and I did a five-hour show from 11 to 4. Oh, wait a second. Here's a story I wasn't going to tell you. I'm not going to charge you any extra.
I appreciate
that. I never understood why journalists want to do radio. Now, I love radio, and I am a writer, but I'm talking about a professional journalist. That is such an to be a creative writer. What a fabulous, God-given talent. But they always want to do radio. It's like, you know, let's have some time where I just screw up my life. And we had a news guy, and he wanted to do the afternoon drive, and management said, look, he listens to you, and he's wondering if you'd help him a little bit. So I helped him get started and stuff.
Okay.
He was never very, very good at that. My problem was I'd read his articles and realize what a great writer he was. But he would bring his daughter every so often, 7 or 8 years old, to the station. And I'd get to know her and everything and have a good time while Dad was doing the show and all that stuff. Well, folks out there in Radio Land, I want you to know, that's how I got to know Amy Klobuchar.
Really?
Yes. How great is that story?
That's a great story.
Well, of course it is. I just made it up. It's really what was the movie or the Broadway show, 6 Degrees of Separation or something like that, that we're all kind of connected to one another?
There you go, right.
And how how quickly it is that I end up. Her dad was Jim Klobuchar. Yeah. And she talks about his drinking, and that's because she is telling the story of some of the sad things in her life that she had to deal with. And I've not heard her talk about just what a fabulous writer, but she is as good as she is for, among other reasons, because of her dad's talent. Fabulous. Absolutely. Yeah.
Roy Fox is joining us, KDK, for 9 years as a talk show host. When did you realize you wanted to talk and not play music, or was it something that was more put upon you than it was something that you ultimately
wanted? No, it was LOL in Akron with our morning guy, our program director, and he did this talk show at 9:30, and he was leaving, and I just asked, could I do it temporarily? I didn't know whether I could or would, or I was just curious, because after doing the music and personality and stuff and seeing this stuff come about, I thought, you know what? As with the guy knocking the Elvis Presley over and playing Sinatra, I think I can do this too. I'd like to try it. So they didn't hire anyone. I stayed doing that, and that's how I got started.
All right.
Yeah, I enjoyed doing both. And today, with the way things are going, if I was back in that time period and the same things going on, I probably would choose to go back to doing the music. But that's neither here nor there. Hey, you know what?
Do me a favor. I have to get to a break that's not moving on me.
Well, you go through the break, and the rest of us will talk, and we'll join you when you get back here, okay?
You are so kind to continue on without me like that. Roy Fox is joining us. We'll talk about his KDKA days, going from coast to coast, New York, Los Angeles, and a whole lot more, and kind of get into why it is he'd rather be playing music right now than being a talk show host. It's all coming up. I'm Mangino. You're listening to KDKA at 100 on KDKA Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDKA Radio with Robert Mangino.
I'm Mangino. Roy Fox, my guest, host of the Fox's Den on KDKA Radio. Roy, what brought you to KDKA in the first place?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Was I interrupting the conversation you were having with everybody else while I was gone?
You're my guest, so, you know, just step off to the side and let me introduce you. Go ahead. I don't know. Whatever you want to ask me is fine, but I wanted to be sure that I mentioned the particular year, 1979. So let me know when you think that's a good time.
Okay, I will get back to 79. First, though,
okay.
How did you get here? How did you land at KDKA?
I was, where had I either quit or been fired? It would have been one of the stations. Was it I think it was WHO Des Moines. That's who.
Okay.
And then my friend of mine, Steve Grossman, may not be a man, but he certainly is gross, but we can talk about that another time. He was looking for some work, and we got in the car, went around the country, and got to KDKA. And they were looking for someone for either the 6 to 9 or 9 to midnight. And that's how I got the job. That was in 75 and was there until 85. 79, you know, any of us that were in Pittsburgh, we only make up a second of those 100 years. And what fabulous history. But I want your listeners to know, and radio has changed so much, 79 was the spectacular of spectacular. Everything was right. Bogut in the morning, Art Palin, what a fabulous human being he was. And then the Lady Beatty we mentioned. And then we had Bill Steinbach did 90 minutes of news. And then there was the good and the bad. Fox and Cigna. I was right. He was wrong, but it gave the listeners 6 hours to think it all through. And Perry Marshall all night, Uncle Ed in the morning with the news. Well, throughout the year, the six flavors, we were the best of friends. Everything was going right. And meantime, Chuck's Bucks. Chuck Tanner managing the Pirates, and they win the World Series. Robert, every year we came close to having the highest percentage of the marketplace in the country. We were always beat out by KMOX St. Louis and WCCO Minneapolis by 1 or 2 points. Not 79. We won it all. K KDKA had the highest percentage of the marketplace. 25% of people listening to the radio were tuned in to KDKA. That translated in size of audience to we. With about 2 million people in western Pennsylvania, if you count the number of cows and horses,
right,
compared to the tri-state area where I live in New York with 20 million, we had the sixth largest radio audience in the country. Four stations here in New York, WGN Chicago, and KDKA Pittsburgh. I wish every broadcaster would have the opportunity of having a year as I had it with all of my dear friends and my listeners in 1979.
Did you realize it was a special year in the midst of it, or not till it ended?
Well, I grew up with the Cubs before they had a habit of winning. I was 15 before I realized you could win a game.
Okay.
You would go, you'd go to watch the vines grow at Wrigley Field. So when Chuck Tanner, and I always did general talk, but I did love baseball, and Tanner would get to a team and he'd improve it. So I had called him a number of times, and lo and behold, he ends up managing the Pirates. And in 77, we were losing the short games, losing 1-0, 2-1, extra innings. It was frustrating, but you could see the improvement. Next year, we're doing all of that, almost. We're winning those close games. We're winning the extra inning game. We're almost coming on top, and then we our family, 79 hits. So between that going on across the way at the ballpark and our team, our family at KDKA, you could just feel it in the air. It just, you walked into that station and thought, man, am I thrilled to be here today. And the listeners helped it all out. Because of our audience, because of our cross-section of people, because of our 50,000 watts and the people we could reach, it was, yes, it was phenomenal indeed. Wow, chug-a-lug, terrific.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you think about that right now, the Pirates are on our brother station, if you will, 93.7 The Fan, but you keep on referencing the Pirates for people who may not realize or may have forgotten. That was when the Pirates had their home on KDK, so the Pirates, all of the games were broadcast on KDK at the time.
Well, and from my vantage point, I was on 6 to 9, so I love the Pirates for a lot of reasons, including I worked 1 hour, and at 7 o'clock, Milo Hamilton took over the show and did the game. So I worked 1 hour a day, and believe you me, I complained about that too, but you would expect me to do exactly that.
Yes. I want to go back to Cigna, if I could.
Yes.
Many people obviously know Cigna and what he was as a morning show host. But as a talk show host and the relationship that you guys may have had at that time, crossing paths, you know, 6 to 9, 9 to midnight, what was that dynamic like?
Well, it was terrific. And when Jack decided that he wanted to leave us, Jack always wanted to do a television. Here again, I don't understand this. Jack was dynamic radio. And most people, even in the business, don't understand. It's not a thing of you do radio, you do television. Those are two entirely different things. And so the station across town offered him his morning show if he'd do a television show, and he left us. That was sad on so many counts, not only with what the station could do, but what he did with his career. I went into management. I never assumed they paid any attention, but I went in anyway because I'm not working very much, as I told you.
Okay.
And I said, you got to put Cigna on the morning. But I didn't mean permanently. John never should have done the morning show. He was
Why?
A fabulous talk show host, and the dynamics of the two of us between 6 and midnight drove the audience nuts. And the nutsier that audience got, the bigger the audience became. And we made it happen. Never should have been taken off, but listen, that's the way these things go. Boy, am I glad I got that out of my system.
I'm glad that you did, too, what was it about Cigna that you liked him doing the mornings but not necessarily staying there? Was it just about what the two of you were able to create?
Bogut was just a wonderful morning. Everything about him, smooth, and just a morning kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
Cigna got into the thing of always eating, and that was about the size of it. He couldn't begin to get into issues and stuff, and there aren't that many on the air that can do issues. And John and I got into it inside and out, and it was really terrific, and it was a personal loss for me not to have him on from 9 to midnight. So,
now,
you know,
talk about the perspective. So would it work out to where you're talking about something and then from 6 to 9 or at some point, and then he would come on and then take the contrary viewpoint at that time?
My God, Robert, I don't remember the subject anymore. There's something I got into, and at 9 o'clock, before the news, and he wasn't supposed to do this, I'm getting ready to do the stage break, and John gets on the microphone. He says, "Fox, don't go anywhere. We're still on the air." So I do the newscast, and we spent the next hour going back and forth, and the vice president of the station told me the next day that he was pulling up to his car to where he lived in the driveway, and mm-hmm. he just sat there stunned for an hour. We ditched the commercials. What, you can do that? Yeah, we did it. We did one solid hour of going back and forth. Don't remember what it was, but it was great at the time. You know, Dick Cavett one time said that he came home and his wife hadn't seen his television show, and she said, "Honey, who'd you have on the air?" And he said, "I went blank." And people don't realize that doing a show, and if you have a guest a lot, like every night, right. and you've read a book and something, this is not like cramming for a test in school, that you're so good for the next day and 2 days later you don't remember the subject matter. And that's what happens to a broadcaster, too. And so I understand that happening,
Boy, that is
and that's
so
why
true.
As I'm talking to you, I'm trying to remember the subject that it was, but I'm not going to do it.
I completely with you. I hosted mornings for years and give the forecast, you know, 10 times an hour for 4 hours. And then come home and then be asked, "So what's the weather like?" I don't know. I knew it long enough to read it.
That's right.
That was the extent of how long I needed to know.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Roy Fox is with us. The Fox's Den host on KDK from 75 to 85, and a lot of great memories. And maybe the greatest memory that was created was at McDonald's. We'll get to that coming up next on KDK Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDK Radio with Robert Mangino.
I'm Angino. Welcome back. Great to have you. Roy Fox is with me, longtime talk show host on KDK, The Fox's Den, from the mid-70s
hey, Robert,
to the
mid-80s. Robert, we talked before the show. You called me, and I really appreciate that. I was going to tell you my love of just not the show and living in Pittsburgh. The place I lived in was right across the river from the station. I could see the signs lit up, KDK. Nobody ever once tried to steal my radio station while I was there. But they imploded that building to build the Pirates' new park. And so where I lived is between first base and the outfield of the new park. And there was a full page of the Post-Gazette with a picture of my building where I lived when I lived in Pittsburgh imploding. And friends sent me that picture, and they said the only thing sad about it is that you weren't in the building at the time. So it goes.
Roy Fox. Maybe the greatest memory at KDK involved your wife, Mary?
Well, then I married her on the air, and she was a listener of mine. She called me after the show. I go down the office hall, and the telephone rings. I'm one of the few talents that couldn't. I just had to pick up a telephone. It was ringing, and this female voice said, "Mr. Fox, I'm wondering how daring you are. Not a broadcaster hasn't gotten into trouble with that line." So I said, "Now what?" And she said, "It's my birthday, and my present to myself is to have you take me out for a drink."
Hello.
Well, dangerous. I said, "Look, how about if you stop by 4:30 at the station, I'll take you over to the Hilton and give you a birthday drink." Secretary calls me. He says, "Fox, somebody down here to see you." Robert, I walked down the stairs. She was the only one sitting there, and I thought, this does not happen in real life. Opened the door. "Mary?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Can we have dinner after the show?" And that's how we met. And as a result, got married on the line. Ah, just terrific story. Wow.
How long did you guys date before you got married?
I don't move very quickly. From 79 to 84. Year of our Lord, yeah.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. For 5 years, then?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, here's something. If you know me well enough, you learn some serious flaws. It wasn't until about 20 years later that I realized I had been, and for the fellows out there, a word of wisdom, never marry a Mary after a Rosemary, because you never get the damn name right. And it dawned on me 20 years after I had married Mary. I had married Rosemary 20 years to the day earlier. Don't dare anyone ever tell her that. So,
No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything.
What? McDonald's. You want to talk about McDonald's?
Yeah, I want to talk about McDonald's because give me this story about you guys getting married and how McDonald's ties into this.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to talk about McDonald's for our money that we raised for the hospital and stuff like that. No, it wasn't McDonald's. It was one of, oh, my God, do I remember his name? We had a client, and he insisted he ran, but not a McDonald's. He ran a restaurant very close by.
Okay.
And he said, Fox, whatever you want to do. So he had a really special restaurant. I had his chef and invited my listeners. There was a guy in Pittsburgh, a cop that directed traffic with a whistle and danced across the street as he did. This was one of the stars of Pittsburgh days once upon a time. And he was there directing traffic as they came into the restaurant and stuff. And one of the people that did the 4th of July stuff at Macy's here is right outside of Pittsburgh. And Mary and I went on a bicycle. We had a bicycle built for two, which was given to me by one of our talents. And we went out, and there in the middle of the night was the big show that was put on to welcome us to married life.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Hey,
nice.
Before we ended up, because I can't believe how fast the time goes, if anyone sure. would go on the line to RufusKing.org, you'll find a founding father. Thomas Jefferson called Rufus King. Listen to this terminology, a traitor to the white community because of Rufus King's stand against slavery. And yet we honor on July 4th Thomas Jefferson, and we've forgotten about Rufus King, who was not only a signer of the Constitution, but one of the five framers of the Constitution of the United States. And so that I can get back into my shoes of thinking of important things, he would not be surprised by what's been going on in the country today. In his files, we have found two clippings from 1806. It was from a play written by John Dryden, the Spanish Friar. That is the name of the play. Mm-hmm. It's a fabulous play. It's 1681, and Rufus King had cut out two short bits to indicate, from my vantage point, Rufus King expected anything to happen to this country. One of the clips is a government that knowing not true wisdom is scorned abroad and lives on tricks at home. Two pages later, if that doesn't serve as prophecy fulfilled today, try this. The rabble gather round the man of news and listen with their mouths. Some tell, some hear, some judge of news, some make it, and he who lies most loud is most believed. 1681. Some things
wow.
don't change human nature.
That is absolutely fantastic.
One other thing, because of my background, I had studied for the Lutheran ministry.
Yes.
I look at Times Square, nobody. Central Park, no one. Park Avenue, empty. No Broadway, no Yankees, no bars, no churches. And this is the thought that's been running through my head these past 6 weeks. How solitary lies the city, once so full of people, once great among nations, now become a widow. That's from the prophet Jeremiah, and that is the first verse of Lamentations when the Babylonian captivity had taken the children of Israel out of the promised land. And there was recently a sheikh who sounds a call to prayer at one of the oldest mosques in Cairo, even as much of the city is under lockdown as we are. And he said, when I call people, nobody can come. It feels like God is refusing us. And I think, Robert, everything that's happening is God's distraction to get our attention.
That's strong.
So there.
That's really, Do you,
hey, if I can give three names, Howard Elson was a dear friend that worked on KDK. We did some crazy stuff together. I mentioned Steve Grossman, so I don't have to mention him again. Mm-hmm. And Dick Gibbs, who's a dear friend of mine, on my birthday, and you know how I feel about Rufus King. At the old timers game, people thought it was because the Yankees were playing, the old timers were playing. No, it was my 80th birthday. And with 47,000 people at Yankee Stadium, Dick says in the fifth inning, Fox, if you're still sober, would you look up at the board? And with 47,000 people at Yankee Stadium, it says, Rufus King and all your friends shout out, happy 80th birthday, Roy Fox. Birthday presents don't get any better than that. So things are going well for me in the city of New York.
I got to tell you, Roy, this has been a remarkable hour. You are absolutely fantastic. And you could be back on the air anywhere I would think you want to be. I mean, because you just sound like you've got it to this very day. I don't know. I am kind of glad that you're content with what you're doing, because I would be nervous about my job at this point. You sound fantastic.
Don't be nervous. I did 30 years. My wife, Mary, would tell people who would say, well, radio's not a job. It's a way of life. Of course, you're going back on the air. And Mary would say, I want to tell you something about Fox. I never met anyone that loved being on the air more, and I know I will never, ever meet anyone that misses it less. So, Robert, you're okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Glad
Roy
to save
Fox,
your career for you.
It's been a wonderful time. I look forward to talking to you again. I hope this is not the last time our paths cross.
Come on and see me. You can stay with me at King Park.
I look forward to it. Roy Fox, once again, the Fox's Den on KDKA from 75 to 85, and what a guy. If you missed this show, you can always rewind if you have KDK, if favorited on radio.com. If you have the radio.com app, you can go back and listen to the hour anytime you want to over the course of the next 24. Plus, there will be a podcast of this show. KDKA Radio at 100. News is coming up next on KDKA Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.